I'm Andy Bates, part of the team here at KFUO. While you hear me on the air and in podcasts, I'm also part of the team that works behind the scenes to bring you the programs like this that you value. What you hear on the air and in podcasts is just the tip of the iceberg. Listeners like you generously support everything that makes radio and podcasts happen. Administration, cutting-edge technology, software, hosts, producers, and more. You make this happen. Can we count on you to continue this support? KFUO Shareathon, now through April 5th, is a great time to show your support and make a gift or make a plan to give for a whole year. Your generosity is important and appreciated, not just by the KFUO team, but by listeners who get to hear and enjoy Christ-centered programs every day. Will you make a gift today? KFUO.org/give. KFUO.org/give.
Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is John chapter 6, verses 27 through 35, and the Reverend Brian Gauthier is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from John's Gospel, chapter 6. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal. Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do, that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" "Our fathers ate manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of Jesus, amen. You know, sometimes it seems that the most consistent feature in John's gospel is the misunderstanding of those who interact with Jesus. The same crowd that had been fed miraculously by Jesus and his disciples at the beginning of chapter 6 had tracked Jesus down again. The interaction between the crowds and Jesus in the text appointed for today is almost comical. They question Jesus as to when he had arrived, as if they didn't already know. He dismisses them as only caring about their bellies, saying, "Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life." Jesus tells them, saying that the Son of Man will give them this because the Father has set his seal on him. And in a fascinating manner, onto what do the crowds focus in Jesus' statement? Not on the food that endures to eternal life, or the Son of Man, or even the whole concept of the seal that the Father has set upon the Son. Instead, they latch on to work. What must we do to be doing the works of God? Granted, it's difficult to say with any certainty what the crowds intended by this question. Is it an insistence on keeping the Torah better, given the appeal to Moses a little later in the text? Is it a works righteousness type of transactional understanding of Yahweh and his people? On the one hand, you kind of want to shake them and say, "What do you mean, what must we do? You know the commandments, you know Moses." Yet on the other hand, you have pity on them, that they have standing before them the bread of life that endures to eternal life, but they just can't see. Then again, having served in a parish for a time on the mission field in a predominantly Roman Catholic context, and as a university professor, what must we do is not a question asked only by unassuming farmers and fishermen of Galilee. Human beings love to self-justify, to balance the scales, so to speak. Adolf Kaberle, in his book The Quest for Holiness, describes this phenomenon using the image of ladders. He makes the case that human beings are always seeking to ascend to God, to make themselves right with God, to justify themselves by a particular ladder. And he argues the three most common are the ones that ascend to God by means of the hands, the head, or the heart. Right? By works, by knowledge, or by some kind of emotional or ecstatic experience. Perhaps the ladder we see here is that ladder of morality or of works. What are the works that we need to be doing? What must I do? Jesus indulges their question and even utilizes their vocabulary, but notice the subtle difference in his response. This is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent. Did you catch the difference? It was one letter in the English. They ask, what are the works, plural, of God? But Jesus responds, this is the work, singular, of God. The bread that endures to eternal life is received by faith and faith alone. The work, that is the singular work to which Jesus refers, is belief. But notice the possession of the work in this passage. It's not the person who is doing the work. It is the Lord's work. For he is the one that works the work of faith. We confess as much in the small catechism. I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel. Jesus tells the crowds here not to fawn over earthly bread that perishes, but to seek the bread that endures to eternal life. To seek the Word who stood before them in the flesh and believe him. I mean, is that not the purpose for which the Gospel of John was written? John says near the end of the book in 20:31, these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. It seems so simple. And it is. Yet the crowds miss it. I suppose that's why John's gospel is often described as being shallow enough for a child to wade in, yet deep enough for an adult to drown. Upon laying out the gospel succinctly, just 15 words in English, they immediately appeal for Jesus to do a sign that they may see and believe. Granted, in John's gospel, seeing is an important step on the way to believing, especially in the way that John tells the gospel. But let us not forget, just a few verses before this, Jesus provided them with a relatively substantial sign. 5,000 men plus women and children were fed until they were satisfied, and then 12 baskets of leftovers were gathered up. John even notes in verse 14, when they saw the sign, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who has come into the world." But their seeing here is not yet linked to belief. In the rest of the appointed text for today, there's this back and forth between Jesus and the crowd that builds on this missing the point theme that culminates with Jesus' declarative statement in verse 35, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." This is the first of seven I am statements that run from chapter 6 through chapter 15 and hold the two distinct parts of John's gospel, the book of signs, chapters 1 through 12, and the book of glory, chapters 13 through 21, together. And there is plenty to preach on with respect to the image given in this first statement. The bread of life. Christ was born in Bethlehem, which translates the house of bread. He calls all people to eat and drink of his flesh and his blood. That is rich imagery. But I don't want to focus so much on the bread as the two words prior to the bread. What is really being batted around here, and through much of the gospel, is the identity of Jesus. Is he a prophet? What does the Son of Man mean? The crowds miss the point Jesus makes when he refers to God as my Father. And so Jesus clearly states, I am. This Jesus, who has done some great signs so far, is no mere prophet. He's not the next big character on the religious scene in Galilee. He is God. And there's no mistaking his identity with his powerful statement here that really draws us back and recalls Moses' own interaction with Yahweh in Exodus 3:14, when Moses appeals, well, who should I say sent me if they ask? And the burning bush responds, I am. Here is the first. There are six more occasions on Jesus' way to his own glorification. Jesus, the great I am, was made flesh in John 1:14. He has been anointed in the Jordan. John writes, I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. 1:32. And then a little bit later, and I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God. 1:34. Anointed with the Spirit to fulfill the mission of atonement for sins. For the sins of the folks that were part of those crowds in John chapter 6, who followed him unassumingly, and for your sins as well. The one whose word is proclaimed into your ears and your hearts, and whose body and blood is put on your lips in the Holy Supper. He and the Father are one. This bread is your Lord. And he gives you the same command that he gave the crowds along the sea. Do not seek after the food that perishes, rather seek after the food that endures to eternal life. For the word, Christ, is not a static word, but a dynamic one that convicts you of your sin and enlivens you by the sweet words of the gospel. Feast on that word often, even as you sojourn with the word made flesh this Lenten season. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.